many of you from Sunday school a long time ago remember the song Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. We remember that? Some? Well, I remember singing it in my very first call when I was doing my very first VBS program as a pastor in Clearfield, PA, and we were doing a vacation Bible school with the kids and talking about the story of Abraham and sang this song. The song talks about the promise God made to Abraham to give him sons and daughters and make him a great family and a great nation, one through whom all nations, all families on earth would be blessed. It's a message about God's plan of redemption for humankind and that Abraham was part of that blessing and we are part of that blessing. For we too follow in Abraham's footsteps and God's promise to Abraham is given to us as well. Today we are looking at this promise God made to Abraham and what this means to us. We are continuing our series on the story, the Bible as one continuous story of God and God's people. And this is a big picture of the overview of the Bible. It's the overarching story of God's creation and redemption of humanity. And we talk about this being the upper story of the Bible, this overarching picture of God's master plan to restore creation and humanity. And this upper story is told through the lower stories, the individual stories of the men and women throughout the Bible. Many of them followed God at times, some more faithfully than others, and there's a lot of interesting twists and turns throughout the Bible and God's story, but we see these individual men and women being part of God's overarching story. And all of these stories we learned as kids in Sunday school with Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and many others that we'll learn along the way, all of these are part of God's bigger story. So today we're looking at how God builds a nation through one man, Abraham. The nation starts not as a political entity or government, but as a family. And we have this story of Abraham, who becomes father of the nation of Israel. Genesis 12 describes this story, or begins this story of Abraham, which carries out through a good portion of Genesis. How this family came to form a nation and were part of God's plan, despite some pretty incredible obstacles that God had to overcome along the way. Now, to review where we are to this point, we learned that God created the world and everything in it and called it good. He created human beings in God's own image and put the two humans in paradise in the Garden of Eden and gave them a chance to have perfect communion with God. And yet they disobeyed God, eating the forbidden fruit, and were separated from God and were at odds with each other and the rest of creation. And sin became a reality for humanity. God did not leave humanity in this state of sin, however. He set in motion a grand plan to redeem them. Now, this was not easy because the effects of sin were immediately seen. If you read the beginning part of Genesis in Cain's murder of Abel and the progressive rise of the world's sinfulness and corruption and violence and evil culminating in God's judgment with a flood that wiped out the creation he had made. Even in this, there was the seed of redemption through the family of Noah and Noah's descendants who would carry on God's plan of promise. But humanity was still showing the effects of sin. Even through Noah's family, they immediately get off the ark and this power of sin overtakes them. And humanity started to show that through the increase of violence and corruption. And thus came the building of the Tower of Babel, an attempt for the people of earth to build a giant pyramid to God, which eventually failed. The beginning of Genesis 11 details this project. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." and they laid brick for stone, and bitumen for mortar, and they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city, and a tower with its top to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we shall be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, look, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they purpose to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off the building of the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad in the face of all the earth. Then in the midst of all of this, God acted again for the redemption of humankind. He wasn't going to let human sin thwart this ultimate purpose. And so he acted through the calling of a man named Abram, who would later go on to be called Abraham. Abram was called to be the father of what would become a great nation. And this nation would be blessed and would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And so this is where the story picks up in Genesis 12, where the Lord calls to Abram and says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house and go to a place I will show you. He says he would make him a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who you bless, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Abram followed. He picked up everything and went off to this land that he and his family didn't know where they were going, but they followed God's call because they believed God's promise. They followed this promise that God had made. And God made a covenant with Abram, this special binding relationship that God promised never to break. So this began what would become a great nation and would bring about God's plan of redemption. So Abram obeyed and followed to this land, but there were also some other problems. Abram was promised to become the father of a great nation, and yet Abram's wife Sarai was barren. She had no children, no offspring, no lineage. All of Abram's possessions would be inherited by a servant, someone unrelated to him. Also, Abram and Sarai were both old, well beyond childbearing years. You would think that if God's plan for the redemption of humankind required the building of a nation, a building of a family, you would want to start maybe with two young people in the prime of their lives who could have lots of children as descendants. Choosing an old childless couple to start a whole nation, a huge family that would go on to bring redemption to the entire world, this didn't seem like the best plan. And yet that's exactly what God chose to do. He chooses Abram and Sarai as a means to start this family, this nation through whom God's redemptive purposes would continue. And God does this, I think, to punctuate the fact that it's not human effort that would bring about humanity's redemption. It is God's power and purposes. And God is not bound by circumstances that seem like overwhelming obstacles to us. And so God promised Abram and Sarai a child. In Genesis 15, it picks up the story. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring. And so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heavens and count the stars. So shall your descendants be. Well, you can imagine this kind of promise being given to this old childless couple. Your children will be as many as the star in the sky. It seemed pretty unbelievable, and yet Abraham responded in faith, in trust, that God was going to keep God's word. Genesis 15:6 says, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And yet God's promise seemed too good to be true. After all, Sarai and Abram were both advancing in years, and with each year that passed, the promise of God giving Abram offspring of his own seemed increasingly more remote. It seemed unbelievable that God would be able to fulfill such a promise. And so Sarai tried to take matters into her own hands and gave Abram her servant Hagar to try to bear children through her, which was a common practice and the expected thing to do in that culture. And Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, but who was also going to be blessed as a great nation. But God told Abram that it would not be through Ishmael that his promise would be fulfilled. It would be through Abram's own offspring with his wife Sarai. And God changed their names. Abram, meaning father, he calls Abraham, father of many. And Sarai, meaning princess, he calls Sarah, meaning queen. So these were optimistic names, no pressure there. But God was saying, I'm going to overcome what seems like unsurmountable obstacles to fulfill this promise. And even with this bold promise from God, Abraham and Sarah laughed at God's promise. I mean, you would laugh too. It seems crazy. It seems absurd, and yet God fulfilled this promise, this child of promise, and gave them a son, Isaac, which means he laughs, kind of playing off the fact that they laughed at the fact that they would have a son at their age and their circumstances. So God fulfilled God's promise, but there were still more problems that arose, because when Isaac was a teenager, God commanded Abraham to do the unthinkable. Genesis 22 describes it. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I shall show you. Now this was a test to see if Abraham would trust God to keep his promise, even amidst seemingly impossible circumstances. How could God call for the sacrifice of his son, this child of promise? If Abraham sacrificed his son, his only natural offspring, aside from the great grief that would cause the family, how would God continue this promise? How would God fulfill this promise God made? Once again, this promise seemed in jeopardy. This seemed like an insurmountable obstacle. But again, God provided a way. Just before Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, God spoke, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And God provided a ram in the thicket to serve as a sacrifice in place of Isaac. And Genesis 22, verse 15 and following says, an angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn to you, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies. And by your offspring shall all nations of earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. And so God kept his promise to Abraham, and Abraham continued his trust in God. And so God's promises continued despite all the odds. Despite all the outward circumstances that seemed impossible, God overcame them and was faithful. And God is still fulfilling God's promise to redeem humanity. Though Abraham was spared by sacrificing his only son, God went the full measure to redeem humanity from sin, sacrificing Jesus Christ, his son, on the cross. And Jesus willingly offering up his life, offering up himself for our salvation. Hebrews says it was for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. Christ's death made payment for sin, and through resurrection overcame death once and for all so that we might live. God's plan is still continuing today. God still wants to redeem the nations, the families of the world. He wants the world to have that original blessing of Eden to be restored, and still uses followers like us to accomplish his blessing. In Christ, we share in this redemptive plan. We get to be part of the story. Through our serving God in Christ, we participate in God's redemptive plan of blessing for all the earth. God's promise carries on through us. God's promises made to Abraham continue through us, not just through the universal church, capital C, all of God's people everywhere, but also through this local representation of Christ's body, this particular church, in this particular location, in this particular time and space. Now we, like Abraham and Sarah, might feel like God's promises seem too far-fetched to be true. After all, like Abraham and Sarah, we too feel like we have insurmountable obstacles to completing God's mission. We may feel like we're too old, that we've advanced too far in years, that we have too little energy, too little time, too little resources or drive to be of any use to God and God's purposes. Maybe we, like Abraham and Sarah, think God could never use us and our congregation to do great things and fulfill his purpose. Surely a bigger, better resourced congregation full of younger families and children would be better equipped to serve God's purposes. And yet, God has called this congregation at this location, in this time and place, to be part of fulfilling God's mission. God called this congregation into being over 300 years ago and has continued to preserve us and continued to preserve this unique witness. And we are called to continue that work, that mission God has. God has called this congregation despite our age and despite our small size. In fact, from reading parts of Genesis in the story, it seems like this is just exactly what God would do. Just as God called Abraham and Sarah, he calls us to be a blessing to our neighbors and shine Christ's light in our community. The things that we see as detriments, as limitations, as obstacles we can't overcome, God sees differently. Because God doesn't see our limitations, God sees his power and strength and faithfulness. And if we respond as Abraham does, as Sarah does, we too can experience God's power and God making a difference in our lives and in our community. God's power is greater than our weakness, greater than our limitations, greater than our outward circumstances. God is still in the business of keeping God's promises. God is still in the business of overcoming what seem like insurmountable obstacles to fulfill God's purposes. God is still in the business of using regular people, just like you and like me, regardless of our age or life circumstances or what our resources might seem to be or not be. Like Abraham and Sarah, we are called to trust God, to live as if God's promises are true and sure, and that God will fulfill them. As long as we have a pulse, God can use us to fulfill God's purposes. And when God works to use us to fulfill his purposes, we know that it is God's power at work and not our own. And we'll see how God continues to work through regular people, through difficult circumstances, through really messed up people and circumstances to fulfill God's purposes. And so that should give us faith and hope that we can trust in God and that God has great things in store for us, not just for our own well-being, but for the well-being of all those around us. And we'll learn more about how we are called to fulfill God's part and God's plan, how we can be participants in God's story as we continue this series. But let us remember that this story, God's story, is also our story. And God is still in the business of keeping God's promises and using people just like you and me. So may we continue to study and live out this story, being part of God's grand plan to bless all the nations of the earth in Jesus Christ. And may the Lord bless this message to our hearing. Amen.